Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Three. Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, with my co-host, Aaliyah. And today we are back with Mr. Ian Chaney, who is a freelance writer who also writes for Stereo Gum, the black market column that comes out once a month. And he has graciously agreed to do, I think we're doing two parts of this. We're going to be talking about gateway metal today. This came about from a Twitter conversation that we had. I don't even remember how this even came about, but... We just decided to talk about this today. So Ian, thank you for joining us and welcome to the chaos.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So Aaliyah's going to start with the interrogation discussion. Sure.
So let's just start off with a baseline. How would you define gateway metal?
So even when trying to define like what the baseline of gateway metal is, I think we kind of like run into some issues. So I think the easiest way for me to explain it is going to be metal that is both available and accessible. And it needs to be available and accessible to like the nth degree where even like your grandma could get a hold of it, right? I think that that's what constitutes gateway metal to me. Now, I'm sure we'll get into this down the line. So this is kind of like a teaser, a foreshadowing, but what's interesting to me is what's happened to gateway metal in the past 10 years because of the internet and streaming. So the internet has taken care of the availability problem. So it almost makes it seem like anything can be gateway metal. So what it comes down to is going to be like, what is accessible? And I think that's something that we'll talk more about down the line.
Cool.
I have an opinion. Okay. But actually, Aaliyah, let's hear your definition of gateway metal first before I give mine.
Oh, I'm an uneducated music lover. I don't really know. I guess in my mind, I would define it as auditorily accessible, something that people who are from the mainstream are likely to grip onto and recognize. So having basic song structure, having melodic elements that they can cling to, it's kind of an amorphous definition, but I guess that would be how I define it.
Fair. I know we're kind of going off and I'm really, really sorry for getting us off topic or not off topic, but off the rails already. Do you think like a band like Sepultura would be gateway metal, out of curiosity?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I think gateway metal is going to be extremely contextual and it's going to be based on the person that is wants to crash the gates. Number one, what gate they want to crash, what time they're crashing the gate, because I'll tell you, Curtis, we're nearly the same vintage. There was a time I think we would both say that Fishbone was a gateway band. And I do not think that's true anymore. And I think that goes back to the availability problem because Fishbone was off of streaming services for so long that I think people forgot about them. But yeah, as far as gateway metal being accessible, the interesting thing about metal is that so much of what we consider to be gateway bands, I don't know if they're actually accessible or not. We're talking on the... you know, the aftermath of Master Puppets becoming the number one downloaded rock song in iTunes. And I would argue that Master Puppets is an extremely complex work. And yet here it is back in the mainstream again.
Here's one other thing I wanted to bring up because of the accessibility point that Aaliyah brought up. So Master Puppets, I think, is a great example because I personally don't necessarily think it's accessible to the average Joe. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's fair.
Anyways, Aaliyah, go on with your questions. I just wanted to pipe in on that.
Well, Ian, I was looking at and trying to understand a piece that you wrote about a metric that we could use to kind of think about this, the Iron Maiden number.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is and how you came up with it?
Sure. So the Iron Maiden number, I don't know if there's going to be baseball fans that are listening to this, but it's roughly analogous to this baseball concept called wins above replacement, where you have a generalized baseball player that's called a replacement level baseball player. And the assumption is that anybody that is above that value plays in the major leagues. Anyone below that value should not be playing in the major leagues. They should be in the minor leagues, right? So it tethers everything to this null value. And it's a way for baseball smarks, which would be smart marks, to kind of have a better handle on which players are stars and which are, you know, for lack of a TLC is back because, you know, Tom wrote about that in Stereo Gum today. So which players are scrubs? We'll get the word scrubs back in the lexicon. So what I wanted to do was take Iron Maiden and have them set as a null value and try to figure out what were bands' popularity based off of Iron Maiden. So I set Iron Maiden as a straight 100 value, and bands above that were considered to be like mega gateway bands, like Metallica topped the list because, of course, Metallica is the most popular metal band on the planet right now. And anything that was below that is kind of like sinking more into, you know, sinking more into the underground, with zero being the marker of what constitutes above and below the underground. So like, as an example, the stuff that we typically cover in the black market, unfortunately, scores about negative 100 because it is extremely underground and not popular. This is another, you know, if my editors are reading this or listening to this on Stereo Gum, we do very important work there. Definitely, we're getting the important bands out there. Please ignore the negative 100 value.
Yeah, I think I still think, you know, it's important to talk about those bands, but yeah, I get what you're saying. So when it comes to gateway metal, then you mentioned earlier, like it depends what gate you were talking about and what have you. What sort of role does this music play in the world of metal?
I think it's everyone's starting point. And the reason why I said it's contextual is because, of course, everyone's starting point is going to be different. Like how you're jumped into metal is going to be different depending on the person. And I think, you know, the deeper we get into this and the older we get, I think the way that we got into metal, it becomes more interesting. It's like the person's story. It, like, it tells you something about their backstory without really having to get into like the nitty gritty of like, where you're born, what do you do for your work? Like, you can kind of like infer some of that through the metal bands that they get into. So I think the starting point is, you know, extremely important. I knew there was a time back in, you know, ye old message board days of the early 2000s where everyone was like, oh, you didn't wake up and like suffocation's pierced from within wasn't in your tape deck? Well, you're a poser. And of course, like hardly anybody gets into metal that way. And I think even now where, you know, if the worst way that you can get into metal is like more interesting, I think, where if you did get into it through the classics, people just think that like you're like a total replicant that was just like working off like a rate your music lists. And so like, if you could say like, you know, I was listening to like Stained and that jumped me into metal, or like I was listening to, you know, like a lot of people got in through like Evanescence and stuff like that. Like that's what got them into the metal. I think like that becomes like the more fascinating stuff. Like that's the more interesting story. So it's like, you know, it's like the story of like your conception. Like, it's just like, how did you get on this planet? And I think that's a thing to be cherished and you know, enjoyed when you talk to another person about that.
So I want to leap in here. So what was your gateway band, Ian, just out of curiosity before I get into this?
Sure. So, man, I can't believe I'm saying this. This really speaks to the time. But So the first album that I ever bought my own money was REM's Green.
Okay.
And there's a song in there called Orange Crush, which has kind of like an industrial march to it. And due to the satanic panic at the time and my affinity for that song, because I bought the album because I love Stand so much, which was like that, like sounded like the Monkees. And so and then I heard Orange Crush and I was like, whoa, what is this? This is doing something for me. And then I like, because it's louder than anything else on the album, I was like, oh man, do I have to start worshiping Satan now? Like that was a real thought that went through my head, right? And so that got me jumped into being more curious into rock radio. And because I used to listen to like straight classical when I was a kid. And then my mom with absolute foresight was like, you're going to get pounded on the playground, my dude. You got to listen to like actual music. And so she went to the library and she was like, I talked to the librarians and I brought you home this CD. Here's your first rock CD. And it was like a Steely Dan greatest hits compilation. And I was like, this isn't doing it for me. Sorry. Love the Dan now. But at the time, like when you're like nine, like seeing somebody being high at Rudy's, it's just like, that just goes way over your head. And then I just started listening to the radio. And the cool thing about the radio in the area was that it played old and new stuff in the same block. So my intro to metal was hearing stuff like Alice in Chains and Soundgarden in the same block as Black Sabbath. And it gave me a context for all that music because suddenly I could put the pieces together and be like, okay, so this is how we got from point A to point B. And it did the important thing where it didn't other Black Sabbath. It didn't other it as old metal. All of it was just music to me because all of it was new. And because of that, that was my inroads. So turn the question around to you guys. Like how did you guys get into metal?
Aaliyah, you go first.
Well, it's really interesting you mentioned the radio, Ian, because my dad would always play like the classic rock radio, but it wasn't just classic rock. It was modern rock as well. And so it would play, I would hear Pink Floyd was my dad's favorite band. So I'd always hear that. I would hear Van Halen and watch my dad play air guitar to it. And all that stuff, Bon Jovi and Motley Crue and all of it was all on the same radio station. And then I heard, you mentioned Evanescence before, and that was a huge impact to me because as a girl growing up, I always loved singing. And so I thought I wanted to be like a pop star, but I heard Amy Lee in Evanescence and I was like, oh, girls can rock too. And I really got into that. And that just, you know, I went down my road of LimeWire and illegal pirating and finding all the symphonic metal bands and branching off from there. So yeah, that's basically my origin story in metal. Curtis?
I will give you mine. So I've got kind of a dual one. So I think the first metal song I heard was by Bon Jovi, if I'm not mistaken. And then I grew up in a very religious household, so I wasn't allowed to like actually listen to much outside of the Christian genre. So I was at my grandma's and Stryper came on. And that was pretty much my gateway into metal because I was allowed to buy that. I think it was 8 years old or something like that. So interesting tale, but that's how I got into metal. Not very exciting. Oh, one other thing too. And then I went from Stryper into thrash, believe it or not. Ian's probably going to say that that's impossible, but went directly from Stryper, started getting into the heavier stuff. So it does happen.
That kind of makes sense to me. I mean, you have like two big Christian thrash classics, like in Incubus and Living Sacrifice. So,
well, I got in through, I think the two thrash ones I listened to was, one was the Leeds Burn This Record and the other one was Sanity Obscure by Believer. I don't know if
you know that. Yeah, Believer. Definitely.
Yeah. So Believer, I think, was the main one that kind of turned me into like death metal and all the rest of that, because that was getting pretty into the more extreme side, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was a fun era. Like, you had to like Believer that was like bridging into like Mortification and stuff like that. Yep. So, yeah.
You get it. So we got about 7 minutes left, Aaliyah. So we got to make this count, and then we'll have to have Ian back next week or in a week or two to continue this one.
Well, that would be great. I think I want to wrap up with just this question about why do gateway bands get so much hate from the community, do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking about this a lot today in regards to people saying that there was a gatekeeping attempt with Metallica being back in the zeitgeist. And you know what? Like, I don't know if it's just like my place in music or just like how I listen to music now, but like I don't really see that many attempts at like hating on that stuff anymore. I see a lot of people just kind of like enjoying the story that comes along with that stuff, whereas it's like, this was a part of me. Like, I may not be this person anymore, but it's definitely a part of like the tapestry of who I am. And I really appreciate that, especially because new metal Twitter is like popping off right now. It like is going crazy. Shout out to my friend Holiday Kirk, who is the architect behind the Alien Ant Farm viral post that went out like a couple weeks ago. So that's been a blast to watch. And you know, like all of those people are just like approaching music from just like, I don't want to say like it's a pure place, because like obviously, you know, like we all have like our hangups and our biases and stuff like that, but just the way that they come to it and be like, you know what, like I really love this music. I don't care if anybody knows about it. I'm going to be my whole self. Like, I love seeing that stuff. Like, I feel like that we're on the precipice of a better era because of that.
I got one thing I want to comment. All these people that have been talking about the Metallica thing, I have not seen the actual hate. I just keep seeing people saying, quit gatekeeping. And I haven't seen. Have you seen any, Ian? I actually have not seen anybody complain.
I have not seen any. I've seen stray screenshots of people that have like usernames that like Nirvana is God 03 or something, saying like, I'm sorry that normal people are into Metallica now. It's like, normal people have always been into Metallica. Like, they're the biggest band on the planet. Like, like what are we talking about?
100%. Yeah. Anyways, so Aaliyah, we got time for one more question, I think, if you got one.
That is a very good place to end it. That was my wrap-up topic. So, Ian, is there anything else that you wanted to say that we didn't cover?
I mean, I think we'll hit a bunch of this stuff in part two. One thing I'm extremely interested in is asking people how they would get somebody into metal, because I think the strategies that people put in place as far as their album recommendations says a lot about themselves. So there's a lot of self-discovery there. And I think we can have some fun stuff in a part two. If we all just pitch, if we all imagine that, you know, we don't know anything about metal and we're trying to get each other into metal, I think that'd be a great episode.
Cool. That sounds super fun. Yeah, I'm down for that. Curtis, anything else? All right, well, you heard it here. Not first, I hope. Be unapologetically you. And until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C-Squared.